Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everyone as we prepare for the second week of the Shloisha de Puranisa, the Parshas Mateis Maaseh, and the Chazak Chazak v'Nischazek, a week of Chizuk. Let us look at some of the topics of our Parsha. I'd like to talk about a topic that begins in Parshas Mateis and ends in Parshas Maaseh, and that is the incident with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, who insist on getting a chelik in Eiver HaYarden. When you read the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is upset with them. When they explain themselves, Moshe Rabbeinu accepts what they say. If you read the Chumash without the Torah Shebaal Peh, it seems like at the end of the day, what they did was a good thing. The Torah Shebaal Peh, though, of this is that Chazal say about the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they say that Nachla, Yerusha, that Mavuheles Barishayna came with Bahala, didn't come with clear thinking. How could they choose for the sake of their sheep? How could they choose to not be in Eretz Yisrael proper? At the end, they were the first Shvatim to go to Galus. But there's something more that takes place because of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and that's what I'd like to share with you today. When Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, as is well known, Yeshua did not conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. There are many parts of Eretz Yisrael that were not conquered at all, as is Mefurish in the Psukim, in the end of Yeshua and the beginning of Shaftim. Yet, Yeshua says at the end of his life that there was not one thing that he was supposed to do that he didn't do. We've explained in the past that Yerushas Eretz Yisrael is in the manner of Ma'at Ma'at Agarshanu. It's in the manner that the Torah says that the Eretz Yisrael should, a little at a time, should be conquered. As it's needed by Klal Yisrael, more and more of the land was conquered. Now, what this means in practical terms is this. Had the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven decided to go into Eretz Yisrael, as Moshe Rabbeinu had planned, then the Gairo would have been a Gairo for 12 Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael proper. And much more of the land would have been conquered by Yeshua, because Yeshua conquered the amount that was needed by the people. And especially the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, who did in fact have a great amount of tzayin, a great amount of sheep, and needed a lot of grazing area. So in Achinami, much more of the land would have fallen into the Gairo. Because they didn't go, the Gairo was for only 9.5 Shvatim, and much less of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. Now this is really Mefurish in the Pasuk later in Maaseh. In Maaseh Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zoysa Ores Asher Tisnachalu Oysa B'Gairo. It says this is the land you should divide by the Gairo. Ashechiva Hashem Loseis L'Tisha Samata Is V'Chasi Amata. The Pasuk is explaining the Gairo will only be 9.5 Shvatim. Why? Ki Lokhu B'nei Ruveini B'nei Agadi, because they took an Eber Ayarde. Notice the Pasuk is saying that the Gairo would have been for 12 Shvatim, had it not been the choice of those Shvatim to be elsewhere. What that means is that the failure to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael by Yeshua, which is a conquest that had more of a kiyum, that was the fault of the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven. We find in the Brachas in Vayechi that Zevulun had Vayarkosai al Tzidain. His Yerusha was supposed to reach the city of Tzidain, which is Sidon, on the Lebanese coast. It didn't happen. When you look and say, for Yeshua, he did not have land all the way up there. Asher, say, Shevet Asher went up all the way to Tzidain. But Zevulun was not there. What changed? What changed was that had it been a conquest of Yud Beis Shvatim, then Eretz Yisrael proper would have gone much more to the north. And because of them, it didn't. Klal Yisrael lost forever that special kibush Yeshua of so much more of Eretz Yisrael. The lesson, of course, is that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, great as they were, suffered from a malady that afflicts many people. It's called wealth. They were wealthy, mikne rav, otzum yoid, they had tremendous wealth. And instead of adapting the wealth to their values, they adapted their values to the wealth. Had they not had the wealth, they would have been happy to go into Eretz Yisrael. But they said, mikne rav, you're so much cheap. So let's adapt our lives to our wealth. Let's change our lives to fit our wealth. Rachmana litzlan, it's not the right thing. Now, B'derach showed them right to Lelech Melichin Oisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them do it. But having money is an achrayus. When the person becomes the wealth, then his life changes. It's an illness. It's a malady. It's not something that you could say, oh, I'm gonna be above it. Not pasha to be above it, and not so easy. And shirosh va'isher al titanli. The poverty is a terrible thing, but extreme wealth is also a tremendous, tremendous responsibility and an achrayus. It's in the Sayyid. For a person to be able to not change, to stay the way he was and the way he is, a tremendous test. To make still simple weddings and live in simpler homes, that's a tremendous Nisayan, because when people have money, they change themselves to fit to their money. How could somebody do such a thing? Of a money to change his life to fit his money? That doesn't make sense. He should change his money to fit his life. It's something we all understand before we get there. I once asked my class, I think it was a Purim night after the celebrating, the music stopped, we were sitting around the table, and I asked them, if you had so much money and you had to buy a car, and for another $10,000 you could get a label, but it would be the same exact car, but you can get a label that people look up to. Now, this was $10,000 20 years ago, but okay. For another $10,000, would you spend the $10,000 for the label, assuming the car was the same? And they all said, no, they would never do such a thing. It's ridiculous. And one person who thought about it and said, I would do it. I said, please stand up and tell everyone, why would you do it? So he said, very wise words. He says, I don't know why I would do it. It makes zero sense. But since everyone with money is busy doing it, if I was wealthy, I'd probably do it also. The lesson of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is don't change you to fit your wealth. If you're zechut to wealth or whatever you're zechut to, you have to change your circumstances to fit you, not change you to fit your circumstances. Let's move on to a second thought for this Shabbos. The parsha tells us the halacha of the someone who kills b'shaygeg and is chayiv galus and goes sorry mikla. The main clear in the yeshivishim learning of Marcus regarding dari mikla is whether galus is a kapara or an einish. In other words, do you go to Galus to save yourselves from the person who's going to kill you, the guy that's going to kill you, and therefore you have to run? Your einish is that he can kill you and you run there? Or is it Galus a kapara, a person who wants to eat this chaper, so he goes to Galus? Nafkamina, of course, is if there is no guy Adam, or if the guy Adam is a friend of yours and won't kill you, should a person go to Galus anyway? If he's only going to Galus to save himself from the guy Adam, he has no reason to go. If you have a person who's going to build himself a fortress and live wherever he lives, and they'll have armed guards all around. If you're going to Galus just to be saved, so do that. However, if Galus is a kapara, then a person should go no matter what. This is the main yeshiva shetaira, the cler in the sugya of Galus. Arai is brought from the Marsha. The Marsha says on the well-known Mashal HaKadmoni, which is a mashal of somebody who killed b'shaygeg, there were no witnesses, and someone else who killed b'mezid, and there were no witnesses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them together to one place, and the one who killed b'shaygeg falls on and kills the one who killed b'mezid. He goes to Golus as he should. And he goes to he gets killed as he should. The Marsha there, in his words, says that when the first person originally killed b'shaygeg, no one saw. He's not going to go to Galus because there's no Goyal Adam. The Seirish, like the first way to learn. But there are many rais, it's a kapara, and therefore they're matmiya on the Marsha. Why, if someone kills the Galus and there are no witnesses, why wouldn't I'm sorry, if someone kills b'shegeg and there are no witnesses, why wouldn't he have to go to galus? This is a kasha asked on the Marsha. Of course, the assumption is the Marsha holds you go to galus only to be saved. I'd like to suggest the teretz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes regarding the Haftarah of Parshas Vayechi. David HaMelech tells Shlaima HaMelech to take the Nekama from Shimi Ben Gera. Shlaima HaMelech tells Shimi Ben Gera, you have to stay in Yerushalayim. If you leave Yerushalayim, you chayev Misa for the rest of your life. That's what he tells him. That's his Nekama. Lady Shimi Ben Gera leaves, and of course, Shlaima has him put to death. Tzarkel Chaim Shmulevitz, what kind of punishment is it? You have to stay in Yerushalayim, you can't leave. What kind of punishment is that? He writes, I know many people who their whole lives are in Yerushalayim and never left. Big deal. Yerushalayim is a big city. You have everything you need there. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a psychological truth. He says, Shlaima said, you must stay in Yerushalayim. You can't leave. When someone says you can't leave, that's very hard to do. If you choose to be in Yerushalayim all your life, that's not hard to do. Take, for example, a small child. You want to punish the child. You tell the child you have to sit in the corner for a minute. He's going to scream and kick. This morning he sat in that same exact corner and played with his toys for much more than a minute. The answer is, when he has to, that's when it's hard. Getting back to Golos. Golos is a kapara. A person goes to Golos, a kapara, but part of the kapara is that he must be in the Eir Miklat. If he walks out, someone's going to kill him. Part of the kapara is of galus is that you got to be there. You have to be there. And so, if someone killed and there was no Gael Adam, he killed without witnesses, there's no Gael Adam. So just going to galus voluntarily, that's not the kapara. The kapara is going to galus because there's a Gael Adam. We find, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that if someone kills a ger b'shaygeg, and he has no relatives, there's an appointed Gael Adam. There has to be a Gael Adam for the kapara to be a proper kapara, an insight into human nature. One last thought. We had one on the Nachlais, one on Ari Mikla, a thought for the 9 days. There are many areas where we say our generation is a weak generation. If somebody does an Aveira and he asks, should I fast a fast day to do tshuva? So we tell him, said B'Shem the Chafetz Chaim, we're a weak generation. We can't just fast, figufim. The Stipler writes this in one of his letters as well. We're a weak generation, a dar chorosh, cholosh. Aveilim, well, I know someone's in Avil, they always used to sit on the floor. Sometimes they put a little pillow under them. Today they have comfortable seats. It's a weak generation. It's very hard to sit to everyone to sit on the floor. The weakness of our generation is the excuse. What does it mean we're weak physically? We eat well. We're physically stronger. We live longer lives. But it means we're emotionally weaker. We're emotionally weaker. It's a weaker generation. It's a chulsho. We're a generation of frazzled nerves. And whether you want it to be that way, you don't want it to be that way, it is a fact. The fact is, it's a generation where the nerves are much more difficult. Emotionally, we find it hard to inconvenience ourselves. And now comes the 9 days. 9 days are falling apart. Music, people need music. They need it for their nerves. People say tape music, not tape music. It may be different. Showers, whoever heard not taking showers? People, you're in shock, not take a shower for 9 days, or just Shosh HaChobah for 5 days. They're shocked and not take showers. It's on the, and what about changing shirts? We used to do it the week before Rosh Chodesh. We change shirts. We wore shirts for let's say, for breakfast, and then after davening a breakfast, we change and we put it in the closet so we wouldn't wear a freshly laundered shirt in the 9 days. We did it a few days before Rosh Chodesh. Today, Rosh Chodesh, everyone's asking, I didn't change shirts, what should I do? The excuse that we're a weak generation, too much of an excuse. Like I said, we're a generation of chulsha, but it's not a mitzvah to be a generation of chulsha. We lose, when we are too weak to do the things we have to do, we lose from it. I feel that our generation is the generation of Shir Hashirim Perek Hei. Yeshua Shirim Perakei, the man and woman who are in love and somehow separated have an episode. The episode is with a woman in the story, that's Klal Yisrael, Ani Yishen of Libi Er. She says, I'm about to fall asleep. I'm in bed. I'm falling asleep. Kol Doidi Doifek. And I hear my beloved is knocking on the door. Pischili, he's saying, open the door. Achaisi Rayasi Yainasi Samasi. My beloved, open the door for me. I'm ready to come in. Sharoshi Nimla Tol, Kibbutzos of Rishisi Eloi, he says, I'm already ready to go. And the woman, that's Klal Yisrael, says, Pashanti Eskutanti. I'm in pajamas already. I'm going to go get dressed again. I already washed my feet. I'm going to go walk on the ground again. She's lazy. She's tired. She has frazzled nerves. She has a chulsha. She's staying in bed. So the pasuk says, Doidi, my beloved, he let go of the doorknob. Now she's nervous. She jumps out of bed to open the door. I dip my hand in perfume to meet my beloved. I opened the door for my beloved. And he's not here anymore. I'm going out of my mind. I wanted him so much when he spoke. A generation of people are too weak, too lazy. They're in bed. They can't get up. And later, when they want to serve Hashem, they say, where's Hashem? I don't understand. I want so much to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But where were you when the moment was ripe? Where were you when you had to be there? It's a musa to learn. A musa, it's such a sad story. And she ashamed, this poor woman. I don't get my feet dirty. Instead of playing... He's playing hard to get, and him pushing, so he leaves. Rabbi Shalom says, you're not interested, okay. And then you say, where's God? I don't understand. Where's Rabbi Shalom? Today I was there, said the Rabbi Shalom. Don't be lazy. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Serve Hashem right. When it'll come the 9 days of the Gula, and they'll have a guard at the door, and they'll say, whoever observed the 9 days can come in. Whoever didn't observe the 9 days, you got to wait. No, coming in will be 9 days of celebration. What did you do for the 9 days? What did you do? Will you really limit your eating? You have such geschmack of foods without meat. You really limited your showers? You really limited the music that you listen to? Of course we will. We'll be in the Sabbath in Yerushalayim properly. We'll be Zaycha, Varayim, and Echamasa, Gutn Shabbos to one and all.